Hello and welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast, episode number 48. I am your host, Jason Gutarski, and I am coming to you from Durham, North Carolina, this beautiful southern state of goodness. And I have a friend with me today, and we'll talk about why I'm here in just a minute, but I want to introduce my buddy, Joshua J. Mills.
How's everybody doing out there and in the rest of the world?
Yeah, if they could answer back, I think they would say they're doing okay now that they are finally listening to an episode of 20 Minutes of Filler after a month and a half of not having one.
Yeah, we just, you know, sometimes you have a long Euro in between podcasts, and that's fine, you know, like you just, then you get to do a bunch of fillers in a row.
Totally, Jason. Totally, I know. So I apologize again for the lag. It's been a busy time, but I want to get more consistent with bringing you content, and I'm coming up with some ways to do that. Maybe it's going to be more guests, some rotating co-hosts. Andy Lennox and me are buddies, but we don't connect as easily because we have kids and lives and jobs. And
which I have none of.
You don't have any of that?
I don't have any of that.
So that's why I picked up Josh for today. I thought that would be a great thing. But Josh, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Josh. We'll talk about how we met because I don't know if you guys know this, but there's this little there's this center of awesome things tabletop gaming that is based in the Triangle area of North Carolina. And that I know that because I met Chris Kirkman, from Dice Hate Me Games, the publisher of my first game, Great Heartland Hauling Company. And then I find out about all the great design community they have. And some of the designers that come from this area, Matt Wolf, for example, from Avalanche Yeti Mountain comes from this area. Daniel Solis, who did Battle of the Ball, and now Kodama from Action Phase Games that was just on Kickstarter recently.
Yep. Doing really well.
Yeah, doing awesome stuff. So like, it's just, there's a really strong design community, and it's just a cool place to be. And
we call ourselves the Game Designers of North Carolina.
And you have a podcast, right?
Yeah, we have a podcast, the Game Designers of North Carolina podcast. Crazy name.
That's crazy.
Thank Matt Wolf for that one.
Yeah, yep. Seriously. The great podcast. If you are interested in getting into game design, they're starting with the basic kind of stuff. Just like asking questions and being awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way for kind of like us to introduce all the different designers and stuff in the area, talk about what we do, and share some of that knowledge we've gained as a group with everybody. But yeah, it's fantastic culture just here of development and prototyping, and you know, now more and more games are getting published. So we were like, yeah, North Carolina is where it's at.
Awesome.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. North Carolina. What did I say?
You said North Carolina, but okay. A lot of people will be like, Carolina or South Carolina? I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it.
Okay, you just have a preference.
I don't have a preference. Just the state we're in.
Okay, we want to be very specific about what we're talking about. Okay, awesome. Well, we are here because I came down for the Gamers for Cures 24-hour board game marathon that Dan Patrice has put together. Dan Patrice, the host of Geek All-Stars, he's also from the Triangle area of North Carolina, and he does this great charity event to raise money for the Turner Syndrome Society of America. Turner Syndrome is a thing, which I think I'm going to have Dan tell you more about that, but it is the complete or partial deletion of the X chromosome in females.
I'm going to go with yes.
That sounds like science.
That sounds like science.
Dan will tell us more about that later. But so they do this great event, and it's been doing it for 5 years. And we seriously get together, and we spend an entry fee to play all night from 8 a.m. until 8 a.m. And it's nonstop gaming. And Dan does these raffles and does game giveaways, and it's just a great community event. This game store, the Gamers Armory in
Cary,
North Carolina, okay, hosts it, and it was just a blast. And a bunch of the cool design community was there supporting the event. And for me, it was a great way to support a great charity and to come down and connect with Chris Kirkman, my publisher for Dice, you know, like I already mentioned it, from Dice Hate Me, and then to connect with Matt Wolf, who we're doing a game together. So it's just like, I have so many friends on here, it just made a lot of sense to come down and do this event and give back with gaming, because gaming has given me so much. So that's why we're here, and I thought while I was here, I'm hanging out with Josh Mills, who is a new friend from this area, but he does some cool stuff. So I wanted to kind of talk to him a little bit about that. So he's a kind of fledgling game designer with some cool stuff we're going to be hearing more about in the future, I am sure. But the cool thing that he brings to this space is that he is a, what would you call yourself? Like, what is your thing that you do for money?
So I've worked in the video game industry for the past decade, and I started doing like just, you know, testing QA stuff, like, you know, low level whatever, and then slowly been working my way up through doing that, and then all the way to the top of like producing, you know, a lot of different mobile games and that type of thing. So every facet of the ladder between those two things, from being at the very top to the very, you know, entry level type position. But that's what I've done, and I've gotten the chance to actually work around here most of all my career. So I've done that on the video game side of things, and then just about 2 years ago, my sister-in-law was like, "Have you ever played this game called Catan?" And then since then, it's been all downhill in terms of like, oh, I could design and make things and produce them without having to like worry about doing any of the actual work to make it work on the computer. I can just be like, "Hey, this piece of paper is now, you know, a lion."
yeah, right, like, oh, okay, right. Well, okay, cool. I believe that. So this is, the tabletop thing is new to you. It's just a couple years old that you've been really kind of diving into tabletop gaming.
Yeah, it's just kind of a new thing. I've always been like kind of in the hobby. I played Magic a lot, and I like played different types of card games and that type of thing. But in terms of like the current type of board games and
like the modern
hobby games and stuff, it's all fairly new. It actually started with Dice Hate Me's like 54 card game challenge. I saw that because he, you know, they're local to here, and I don't know where I saw it picked up, but that's what got me into the group, and that's what got me designing stuff, because I was like, I have Christmas break, I could make a thing, so yeah. I made a thing. I don't know if it's any good, but it exists.
Sweet.
Which, and then I caught the bug, and then Matt Wolf really started pulling that group together and building a culture of support, which, you know, then you're just hanging out with people doing stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things, is like you're doing this creative thing, but you're getting to hang out with cool people who are into the same stuff as you. So tell me a little bit about like, why did you, I mean, like you make games for a living. How do you get to games and what, like tabletop games, card games, board games? Like tell me a little more about what drew you to that.
I think what really drew me to it is just the turnaround time. You could create something really quickly and get people playing it. I also like the physicality of the stuff, because I think that's what was lost and has been lost in the video game side of things over the past 5 years. Like, you used to be able to, like, on the NES or even the N64, you'd, like, get the box, and there's, like, art on the outside, and you'd open it up, and, like, there's this, and, like, that's what I always dreamed, like, when I was gonna be, like, I'm gonna make video games, and, like, I'm gonna have this box out there, and it's gonna be this amazing thing with this, and then that's just gone now. Now it's, like, downloading. Right. So that appeased me in terms of like the physicality of it. Plus it's really fun just to do that stuff with people, because you can play games for research, you know, like when you're just like, I need to purchase or buy this game for some research for this idea I have. The idea just happens to be this game I want to buy, but it's fun stuff.
That's awesome. You know, like one of the things I say, and I don't, maybe this isn't true, but like this is the vibe that I pick up. That, like, if you want to make video games, like, the fundamentals of game design are probably more accessible in tabletop
games. Oh, absolutely. Like, if you're in a... oh, man, look at that. There is a six-point buck across the street walking through the woods right now.
Oh, wow. We're in North Carolina.
You're in North Carolina, baby. Right out my front window. Do you see it?
I don't see it.
Walk up to the window.
I'm going to stand up.
Pause. And we're back.
Oh yeah, we just experienced nature, guys, which is one of the cool things you do when you're here in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's gonna make it sound like we're out in the middle of nowhere, hillbilly land. That's, we got some moonshine in the back.
Cool thing about North Carolina is like there's civilization right around the corner, but then there's like woods and things right here too.
Right,
so
here,
it's all together. It's a beautiful place. Yeah, so we're talking about the idea of translating, like learning the fundamentals of game design can be used in either space.
Absolutely. And really, I would start with the physical side of stuff. It's really just like the fundamentals of play and messing around and creating stuff. I feel like almost any kind of creative endeavor has a very similar life cycle in terms of like how you concept ideas, you test them out, then you get people's feedback almost across the board, no matter if you're making movies or music or games. It all feels the same to me.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's something that you think has given you an edge as a video game developer that helps you in your design process?
Ooh,
for tabletop games.
I think the biggest thing is my start of my career, I was doing all that kind of testing, right? Like I'm playing the same game for 8 hours a day. More, all right, let's be honest, more like 16 hours a day to report bugs. So you have to come up with just mental things so you don't drive yourself crazy. Like, all right, I'm going to play this level now for the 50th time, like this type of person, or like with this mentality of like, these are the things I don't understand about this game, so I'm just going to play it like that. And just kind of coming up with different personalities or different decision different kind of personalities or decision trees for how a human would think, and playing through the same concept over and over again. So I think translating that into board games, it gives you a really good idea in terms of feedback from different players, being able to test your own game. So it's not just your point of view, you get different points of view, but mimicking those points of view in the testing process before you even take it out and get it on the table with a bunch of different people.
That's really cool. Can you think of anything in the opposite direction? Like anything in tabletop design that like you connected with that you've brought into the video game side of things?
Yeah, I think one of the things I've kind of brought over is just how can you capture some of that social aspect, some of those like those little mind games you're playing. Like any game I play becomes kind of a social game because I'm going to be like, no, you definitely don't want that card, or like, you want this type of thing. Like, how can I bring some of that kind of flavor, even if it's a single player experience, into the video game world? Because I like that kind of interaction and in the tabletop world, because you don't get as much about that in the single player stuff in video game. Of course, online stuff is a totally different ball game, but
yeah, that's one of the things that does draw me to tabletop games over video games is the connection with like real life people. But I go back to video games every once in a while and just see like how much that world is thriving and how video games have really made everybody a gamer.
Yeah, the fact like it's kind of ridiculous when people are like, "Are you a gamer or not?" Like, no, you are. Like are you a movie watcher? Like, if someone said no, you'd be like, okay. I don't think that's true. Like, my mom would never say she's a video gamer at all, or like a gamer in any sense of the word. Yet she plays Solitaire on her Kindle from like 1812 or something like that. Like, you know, all the time. I'm like, Mom, that's a game. And do you play? I play backgammon too. Okay, well, those are still games. Like you're a gamer. You're playing games.
Totally. And that's the thing. It's like, that's what we like to do here at 20 Minutes of Filler, is we like those small games. We talk about those a lot because I find that the quick games are easier to introduce to people who are reticent to call themselves gamers or to consider how that fits into their lives. And they can be really rewarding experiences. So what we're going to do now is I want to talk about some games that we can recommend for you guys that are cool games, because that's the thing. Everybody has a game, so we want to help people find games that they love. And we specifically, on 20 Minutes Filler, want to help people find games that they love in small bursts, in these shorter, kind of smaller packages that are easy to teach and quicker to learn. So we're just talking about a few games that we played this weekend at the marathon.
Yep, if we can recall. Remember, we're sleep deprived, so.
We came home and had a 4-hour nap, and now we're back at it. So, one of the things, one of the first ones that we played, in the small side. So the thing about playing at a 24-hour marathon is like, you don't want to play a million short games because you're thinking of like, I have to fill 24 hours with board games.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a lot of hours of board game.
So we alternate. We played some bigger games, which is great for me because it gets me out of my, like, I only play 20-minute games. And we played, Alex Kivern's, Gold West. From Tasty Minstrel.
That's what we opened with.
And, oh, that is a great game. Like, a medium to light Euro game. Plays about an hour. Pretty simple rule set once you get your head around it. So it's easy to teach, but, like, it's not a filler, but it's it's elegant. It has that elegance that I love.
It has that elegance that I like in fillers, right? But just a little bit meatier or longer, right? But it's still, it just feels easy to play. You're like, it feels like 20 minutes.
Totally, totally. Right? So, like, that's kind of like what we're going back and forth between is, like, the bigger, meatier games and then kind of the smaller stuff in between. So, we played a game called Too Many Cinderellas that Grail Games put out. And it's a micro game. Prince is really forgetful, and he fell in love, and now he's trying to figure out who Cinderella was. And all of the players in the game are relatives or friends that are trying to say, oh, it was my friend or relative that is the one that you fell in love with.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's I'm Cinderella. Like, you're the prince. Let's do this.
So, on your turn, you're trying to play a card from your hand that has a rumor on the bottom of it. And at the top is a character that has interests and likes and characteristics like young, old, brown hair, blonde hair. They like ice cream. They like tea. They don't like tea. Whatever. They're a male.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah. It's a pretty quirky little game. And at the bottom, there's a text that's a rumor that you're trying to spread. And when you play it to the table, the rumor is the only thing that matters. And everybody votes on that rumor. So, like, it says something like, Cinderella is not a male. And then the group has their little yes and no tokens, and we all vote. And if anybody says no, then that one is a no. But you only get to use your no once, where you get to kind of vote yes continually. So you want to really save that for a key moment. But you go on the table twice. Everybody plays two cards to the table. So there's, and then they have two cards left that are their candidates for who Cinderella is. You're trying to manipulate these cards in order to have a viable candidate in your hand.
Yeah, and you have the same cards for the whole round. So when you start off, you're like, for whatever reason, everybody brunettes across the board. So I'm like, all right, Cinderella's got to be able to have brown hair, or like, I'm not going to be Cinderella.
So that's your no. That's when you know you got to vote no. Yeah. When somebody's like, they play that rumor that Cinderella doesn't have brown hair, you want to say no, absolutely.
Yeah, but she does.
And then you find out somebody plays something else, and you're totally, you've already played the other card, and now, ah! So, but it's like this, you can play it one quick game that's going to be 5 minutes, or you can play several rounds, first to win three kind of a thing. Clever game, and cute art. I think it came from, I'm not sure where it came from. Maybe one of the Asian countries. It may have come from the Tokyo game market
like,
scene.
Some funny, quirky stuff. Like, one of the cards is a cat dressed up like Cinderella. Yeah. Like, no, it's me, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So that was one of the first ones we played that I think is like, if you like micro games, if you like the love letter kind of thing, Council of Verona, kind of trying to influence a tableau and hang on to the right stuff, then Too Many Cinderellas is worth looking at.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What else did we play, Josh? Like what stood out to you?
Well, before the event, I picked up Patrician, which is like some like I think 2007 like super Euro-y looking game, but it actually ended up being very quick to play.
Yeah,
super simple. You're building towers. I bought it because I like building things vertically. Mm-hmm. So if there's any game where you just build things that get taller, I'm like, yeah, that's like the best game ever.
I'm in.
So we had a lot of fun with that, and that went really quick.
It did. It's a full board game experience, but it's kind of like that lighter, like Ticket to Ride-y feel where you're playing a card to place a tower block. It's like area control plus building towers.
Yeah.
And it's designed by Michael Schacht, S-C-H-A-C-T, who also designed Coloretto. I probably said that wrong, but he designed Coloretto and Zooloretto. So he does really cool stuff. Coloretto is one of the greatest fillers ever, I think. Have you ever played Coloretto?
I have not.
Okay, so you're in for a
treat. I just got eye-judged, by the way.
Yeah.
I just looked right at me like,
I don't know if we can continue this conversation.
We're
going to
hit pause on recording.
That is a great one, but so like it's a quick board game that and it Mayfair put it out, and didn't you find it for super cheap?
It was like $15 on Amazon. Like, yeah, I was like, okay.
The amount of wood in that game alone is worth $15.
It really is.
So that was a cool one. One of the other ones we played that I really enjoyed was Dr. Eureka.
That with the balls?
Yeah, with the balls. And it was Blue Orange Games is bringing this out. It's already out in Europe, but it's going to be coming to the U.S. Blue Orange in around Origins time. I think they're launching it at Toy Fair in February.
So pretty much what the game is you have like three different test tubes that have just little round balls that fill them up. And then a card comes out that shows the three test tubes in what color the order of the balls have to be. So you have like green and like pinkish and blue. And then you have to pour the balls into the other test tubes until you get it to line up to be what's on the card. And I'll tell you what, at 5:30 in the morning,
Oh my gosh, it made me feel broken. I was so slow at this game, and we played it with Brandon from Blue Orange, and he was like, I'm done. Eureka. Got it. Like, is what you say when you get... Because there's three tubes and two balls each is kind of how they start, two of three different colors, right? And, like, I'm, like, barely pouring the first ball into the second tube. You can't touch it with your fingers either. So, like, you have to be, like, really careful when you're pouring. And, like, I'm pouring the first ball into the next tube. And he's like, Eureka. And I'm like, what? Like, how does that even happen?
I'm sure you thought you were moving in normal speed, but it, like, it looked like you were in slow motion.
But it's super cool. And that's by Robert Fraga, who makes a lot of kids games and kind of dexterity kind of games. So that's going to be a really cool one to look
forward to. That was fantastic fun.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the right time. Our brains were dead at that that moment. So, like, we spent very little. I spent a lot of brain power. But, you know, it's like that light, silly.
It's crazy how hard just green, orange, orange is. Like, at that point in time, we're like, but how do I, how do I make that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then... So then we played Matt Wolf imported Rhino Hero from Japan, and it was the giant version. Did you see? You saw this being played, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The giant version. Yeah, I got some slow motion video of it falling down. But people have to get chairs. It's. I think that's how Rhino Hero should just be sold forever.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, the tiles, the cards are the size of a magazine, and it stood like 12 feet tall. Because we played Brandon from Blue Orange's variant, where, like, you discard everything but the tiles with the rhinos on them. So
have to move them?
And it's a cooperative game. Oh, I didn't realize that. So he does it as a cooperative. If we get rid of all the cards and walls, then we win. So, which is not how the game is played. But, so we took out all the extra tiles, and what it is the cards have two lines on them or one line on them, and it's the walls that you're going to be sitting. So you, like, fold these walls that are like 90 degree angle or 45 degree angle, depending on how with the lines. So you're trying to, like, set a card on top of a tower and place two walls that are going to hold up the next card that goes on top. And then there's a little wooden rhino that you have to move up to the next rhino. So it was insane. And this was, like, the last thing that we played this morning at, you know, 7 in the morning after being up for 24
and when
hours.
When the game's that big, I could tell because the AC was on, or, you know, and then it's just it was like starting to sway and go back and forth. And
people were standing on chairs to reach the top of this.
I was just hoping. I just want everybody to fail all the time with Rhino Hero. All I want to do is make it fall over the whole
That's
time.
That's the fun of the game, yeah. Right? Like, but this, so you can't get this in the US. Like, Matt imported it from Japan, and it's not cheap, but that was a great experience.
What was the flicking racing game that we played with the funky ball, the Z ball?
Yeah, the Z ball. That's Roadsters with a Z.
Roadsters.
Yeah, and it's a plastic track. If you've seen Pitch Car, it's a flicking game with discs, but this is like a racing game with a ball that has beads in it.
Yeah, it has like ball bearings and stuff. Yeah, yeah, so Matt Wolf brought that one in. And when we first started playing, we were horrible at the ball bearing beads, but I took about 20-30 minutes just flicking the ball because I wanted to get good at it. Everybody had walked over to get, you know, breakfast or something. Mm-hmm. And I said there was just practicing getting better and better and better, and I feel like my skill improved. Yeah. But that was a lot of fun because, like, you can jump the ball over cars and ramps, and there's guardrails, and real quick to play, but a really, really fun kind of dexterity fillery type thing.
Yeah, that's a fun game. I have Bicycle, which is a version that, like, the difference is the same game, same publisher. Bicycles has bikes and Roadsters has cars. But the cool thing about Roadsters is that the trunk is a ramp, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's the big difference between the two.
You end up not even trying to win. I just want to jump the other car.
I
want
to successfully jump and land on the track, and I feel like I've won the game,
yep,
right?
That's awesome. That's all you need to do, and you can just quit forever.
So, you know, since we were skewing a little bit meatier games, we wanted to talk about, like, kind of a featured filler that we played actually today. That is the kind of, like, you want a game that's still portable but meaningful and not light but delivers big. And we played Isle of Trains.
Yes, we did. And man, does it have some really good meaty decisions in it.
Yeah, it's by Dan Keltner and Seth Jaffe, who works for Tasty Minstrel Games, and it's published by Dice Hate Me. It's a 54-card game, maybe 56. I think that's the one that has two extra cards in it or something like that.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
close enough.
It's good enough. It's one of their rabbit line games, a small box game, and you are doing some really cool things. So it takes about 30 to 40 minutes. And it's about you're building a train, you're loading it and unloading it to fill contracts. And the thing about the game is that it is every card is multi-use cards. There's multiple symbols on each card, multiple things you can do with each card.
Each single card, and then to like play cards or build cards, you have to, you know, discard a certain amount of cards, whatever equal to that number. So you're constantly fighting the like, but I want all of these things mentality. But all right, I'll discard this and I'll do that. And the other aspect that really I think elevates the game beyond kind of your normal, you know, kind of filler game is that I can get huge bonuses if I load like cargo into your train. So you get the benefit of the cargo, but I get the bonus, and it creates this really nice dynamic and player interaction with everybody at the table of just, hey, do you want to give me some coal? Like,
yeah,
you can draw four cards if you give me some coal.
It's kind of this cool thing of like it's engine building in the sense that you are trying not to build a good engine for the other players. Because, like, you can only use these bonuses if you're playing on an opponent's train. So, like, the cards I put down, I don't get the bonuses that are listed on them. Nope. Only other people do. And if they're too good, then, like, they're going to help the other player more than they're going to help me. So, but, like, I need the storage room, and maybe I want them to load my train for me so I can deliver it to get my contracts quicker. So, it's some nice, tense decisions. And it was great with two players.
It feels like a hipster coffee shop where it's like, we can't get too popular where all the, like, all the suburbs are coming out. Like, but it's kind of, I gotta make it just good enough to make these people satisfied.
That's perfect. Yeah, it does. And it's called Isle of Trains, like ISLE of Trains, but if you say that fast, it sounds like I love trains, get it? Like, I love trains. Get it? But it's Isle of Trains, get it?
I got it.
Okay, it's a Wait. Pun.
Oh, a pun.
Did you get it?
Oh, that's okay. What those are called.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. It's not a visual.
So it's called pun. I Love Trains?
It's called, yeah, exactly. So that game was sweet. That was one of the six rabbits that Dice Hate Me released as a part of their 54-card challenge kind of thing a little more than a year ago. It was the only one I hadn't played yet. And now I can say that...
Oh, you've checked them all off.
I played them all, and I liked them all.
Yeah,
so.
I think that one packs the most punch for the amount of...
Yeah, it's the meatiest of the bunch, yeah. But it still is not overwhelming. And I'm really looking forward. I have it. I'm looking forward to going home and teaching it to my wife. So if you like a game that is portable and quick, but has some meat to it, Isle of Trains might be a good one. And if you're looking for some fluff, you're going to be looking for stuff like Rhino Hero. You're going to be looking some Roadsters. But it still like gives you a great experience in a different way. If you stay up too late and don't have much brain power when you're playing games, there's games for that too.
Yes, there are. And we proved that today.
Yes, yes. So, Josh, as we wrap up, like... We met officially, like, through friends in North Carolina, but we met the first time at Unpub, which is the Unpublished Games Festival. So you're an aspiring tabletop game designer. You're an accomplished video game developer-ish. So what are some ways people can, like, play some games that you've worked on? Like, what are some video games you've worked on first?
So I've worked on, Gears of War, Unreal, Ratchet & Clank, Full Frontal Assault. Those are all, you know, and I had very small roles in a lot of those. I mean, they're huge teams.
Right. But that's, those are some decent names to be a part
of. Yeah, those,
like,
are things you would be, yeah, it's just cool to, like, have your names in the, you know, the credits of that stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Sweet.
And then some, like, more mobile games, if you go check out, there's a game called Fat Chicken that deals with the food processing industry and stuff, but it's just, like, a silly, fun, kind of cartoony thing with, like, a message. Pickaxe Plunder, which is a mobile game. Go check that out.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
If you like the easier games,
if you like,
then you're going to want to play... What's the other one called?
Scrap Squad.
Scrap Squad. Similar games with different feel.
Yeah, like, they're very the same concept in terms of the gameplay, but one's geared towards kind of more of a chill, relaxed, like, long-term player, and the other one's like, I want to get the highest score. This is really hard. You're probably going to fail.
Okay.
Type of system. Awesome. So those are what those two things are.
Well, that's cool. And what about you have a couple of prototypes in the works.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. This past Unpub, I had Milkman the Dice Game, which I've been doing a lot of testing. Have a really nice place. So. Actually played that at Grand Con with quite a few people.
Yeah, it's a really cool game.
And then I also have a game about ice cream trucks. I'm really into dairy, so I gotta make sure, you know, if you're lactose intolerant, you don't want to play any of my games.
Well, maybe it's like, it could be soy milk or almond milk.
It could.
It could be...
Or it could be whole milk, and it'd be delicious. But that... But the ice cream truck game's a lot of fun. It took some inspiration from Isle of Trains in terms of just using multi-use cards to pack a lot of punch in a small set of cards. And that was a lot of fun. There's a time track that you'd go around, similar to something like Patchwork, where you can, you know, move different amount of spaces depending on how many actions you're going to take. And if you're in back, you get to keep moving.
Yeah, like similar in Tokaido or something like Glenmore, too, that has the kind of thing where if you're in back, then you get to go. Yeah, that's cool. Neat games. Milkman is a little bit more of a family medium euro kind of game with dice. You're rolling dice and trying to process milk and deliver it to neighborhoods.
Yep, pretty much you're running the milkman. You get raw milk from your sweet cows that do all the work.
Yeah,
and then you're making whole skim or chocolate milk, and then you know different people want different stuff.
Yeah, and the ice cream game is called Rocky Road a la Mode.
It's Rocky Road a la Mode, which sounds like, wait, ice cream with ice cream?
But it's about the rocky road of the ice cream man, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, those ice cream men really fight over territory. I mean, you hear that music and kids come running. You better be ready for them.
And so that game is like a little bit lighter. It's smaller, just you know, like 54 card kind of a size game. But it does have that kind of like meatier feel for such a small game.
Yeah, I wanted something that just you could really put your teeth into it. You know, whatever that saying is.
It would just melt in your mouth. I don't know what that
means. Yeah, I don't know either. But
I like the sound of it.
Feels right. But yeah, it's something that you could really grab a hold of and have some really solid decisions in, but still fit in that short time frame.
Awesome. Yeah, so Josh is a dude to be on the lookout for. Check out his games in the video game world or the games that'll be hopefully coming to the tabletop world soon. Check out his podcast that he's a part of with the North Carolina Gamers. And where can people follow you on Twitter if they want to interact with you?
They can follow me at Joshua J. Mills, just the letter J, so Joshua J. Mills. And that's on Twitter and also the entire internet. So if you want to find my username on anything, there you go.
Awesome. I just want to say thanks for the awesome hospitality here in North Carolina. I mean, you showed me nature. We played games. We ate good food. We had good coffee. And the fun's not over yet. We got to hear chat about games too. That was good too. So,
well, glad you enjoyed it. And everybody should come down and be a part of our sweet community, right?
Yeah, but don't tell too many people because then it won't be cool anymore, right?
Like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's how hipster thinks.
Hipster.
But it's kind of weird down here, so.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
But it's beautiful, too. So, awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I'm Jason Katarski. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Katarski. Green Couch Games news stuff it's going to be, things are rolling forward. Best Treehouse Ever is going to happen soon. It's going to be delivering to backers very soon, and then it's going to be hitting stores at the end of November. So you can order... You can pre-order your copy at greencouchgames.com. If you want to find more about great games, check out the DiceTowerNetwork.com, which we are a part of. You can listen to other great podcasts and get cool recommendations for games that suit your needs, whether you've been up for 24 hours or whether you're looking for something super meaty or you're looking for something that makes you laugh or makes you knock things over. So thanks again, and we will be back hopefully more often and soon with more 20 minutes of filler.
I'll keep you honest, and thanks for having me on.